But I think Andy is ready down in L.A. Andy Baggerly, of course, of the Bay Area News Group and San Jose Mercury News, and, of course, Extra Bags on Twitter. Andy, how are you?
Good, Marty. Thanks for hanging with me there.
Oh, very good. Now, we're thankful to have you on and catch up with you. First of all, last night, and I tweeted it out, and I don't know if it was a rhetorical question or not, but what happens with Samardzija? He's striking everybody out, and then he runs into that one inning where he just can't stop the bleeding, so to speak. What happens with him?
Well, you kind of saw a little bit of everything in a grab bag with Samardzija. He topped 200 strikeouts, which is great. He topped 200 innings, which is really great. And I think only he and Max Scherzer will be the only guys who have thrown 200 innings in five straight years by the time this season's up, because Bumgarner won't get there, obviously. And then you saw him give up his 29th home run, and that tied his career high. So it was a little bit of everything in Jeff Samardzija's season. But, you know, I think that if the Giants can give him a little more run support and a little better outfield defense, and then, of course, some of those balls that have left the park, maybe, you know, five or six of them are outs next year, I think it's a much different season for him. I mean, you still see him pretty strong, even to the sixth, seventh inning of games in September. You know, that's the kind of guy that you want to be able to put out there every fifth day. And so, you know, I think they'd still look at him as a big-time asset, even though, sure, there's a lot of things you could look at and be frustrated by or hope that he can clean up a little bit next year.
Yeah, you know, my take on it in watching him, Andy Baggerly with us down from L.A., is that he doesn't have enough finesse when he needs it. And when I say that, I mean you got to get hitters off balance every once in a while. And somehow those innings spiral out of control because it's hard, 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 and then they sit on it. And I think that becomes part of the issue for me.
Well, that's true, and that's why when he's going really good, then he's got his curveball and his split both going, and he can kind of keep guys off on the front foot, so to speak. But, you know, I think you got to look at his season in a larger context, too. I mean, he actually did something pretty good. He pitched very carefully to Corey Seager and walked him, you know, with the base open ahead of Bellinger. But, of course, then you've got Bellinger who's sitting there with 38 homers on deck, and that's just the Dodger lineup for you. But, you know, I think that if you put him in more games where he's not down 4-1, and thinking, okay, the best thing I can do is try to, you know, pitch efficiently and get deep into this ballgame. If instead he's clinging to a 2-1 lead, I think maybe he does nibble a little bit more. Maybe he does pitch a little more strategically. And you know, we got to remember that this game is all played in situations. And the Giants have been in a crappy situation, either losing in the aggregate or losing on the scoreboard on a daily basis. So often, they just play the game differently than they would when they're in their win mode. And we know that this team still has a win mode. We've seen it recently. So, but, you know, I just think they've got to try to believe that their core guys can turn it around. They make some creative moves. Who knows? Maybe Ohtani picks them. Maybe they can get a deal for Stanton done. They got to do something big. They know that to energize this team. But, you know, too many of their guys that they have are coming back, and they're going to have to be better. And if they get to a point by the All-Star break next year where they're terrible again, now you're looking at, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 out of five halves of baseball have been atrocious. Then I think you got to look at trading Madison Bumgarner at that point and seeing what you can do in terms of a system reboot. But we're not there yet.
No. Great analysis by Andy. Just to finish up on Samardzija, I think he has been outstanding for the Giants this year. I think he's their most valuable pitcher. He got the Bill Rigney Award as the most cordial player for the media, which I think is well deserved for him.
Oh, and when he got that award, I know he was a Biletnikoff runner-up twice, but yeah. I think I know what the look on his face would have been if he'd won the Biletnikoff. I mean, he was thrilled to win that Good Guy Award, and I'm not being sarcastic at all, Marty.
No, good. He deserved it. You know, and again, he's always been there. Well, just to finish up with him, I think he was terrific this year. I think he made a huge step forward. And I agree with you. If he could do a little more finesse here and there, but if they could get that year out of him with a little better offense around him and better outfield defense around him, he turns 15-9 from 9-15. That's the way I see it. All right, let's leave him for a second. Ohtani, my goodness, Bobby Evans is over there and taking a look at him in Japan. So for people who don't know, he is the prize of the free agent market international. Giants are stuck where they can't pay him more than $300,000 because they're in the penalty. But do they have a shot at getting this guy?
Well, you know, I think that you can kind of look at if he is going to come, and the word is that he is, The reason it's a big deal that he would come now as opposed to in 2 years is if he's under 25 and he's 23 right now, then he would be subject to the same rules that would apply to, you know, teenagers from the Dominican or Venezuela, where your bonus money that you can use to sign those guys comes out of your international bonus pool, which is determined by, you know, a lot of factors, including whether you're in the competitive balance tax or whether you're in revenue sharing or all that stuff. But it also, you know, there are penalties, and you're limited to a top bonus of $300,000 if you've gone over that pool in the past. And now you cannot go over it. It's not like it's an option. It's a hard cap now. But in the past, it wasn't. And teams could pay a penalty if they went over it. Well, the Giants are still in that penalty phase this year because they signed Lucius Fox for $6 million out of the Bahamas, and of course we never even saw him because he went to Tampa in the Matt Moore deal. So that's why the Giants can only offer a top bonus of $300,000. And there's about a dozen other teams that are in the same boat with them. And I think Buster Olney from ESPN figured out that the team that offered him the most is the Texas Rangers, and it's a little less than $4 million. So, but the thing is, if he just waits 2 years, he could negotiate as an unrestricted free agent and probably get a $200+ million contract if he's as good as everyone says he is. And so, you know, everyone's kind of baffled. Would he really not just wait 2 years? And because once you're in a major league system, now you're just a regular old player and you've got to go through the 3 years of pre-arbitration, et cetera, before you make a lot of money in this game. So basically, if he really is going to come to the U.S. next year, any team that signs him, it would be like winning the sweepstakes because you get a player that informed opinions could be one of the best players in Major League Baseball next year. And you'd not only get him for a relatively modest bonus, but you'd basically be paying him the Major League minimum for the first 3 years of his career. So, you know, everyone is going to go fall over themselves to recruit this guy because that's really what it's going to be. It's going to be a recruitment. And it's where he wants to play. And, you know, the Giants could say, well, you know, maybe we could let you hit on the days you pitch. Obviously, a National League team, American League team won't let you do that. And, you know, would they be willing to let him play outfield a time or two a week if that's what he wants to do? I don't know. But Bruce Bochy said he doubted it would work with an NL team a couple days ago. And then after the game last night, unsolicited, he just said, oh, by the way, yeah, Ohtani, I would play him every day if we got that guy.
Somebody cleaned them up. The PR department cleaned them up.
Joking. I thought he was joking, and I said, is that off the record? And he said, no, print that, please. So I think that he saw the video, and he's like, you know what, this guy is really, really good, really talented. And maybe he heard it a little bit from his own people. Hey, that's probably not the best way to start out recruiting this guy by saying, I don't think this could work.
No,
we'll see. We'll see.
My opinion is that they got on him quickly. To clean that up. It's the last thing Ohtani needs to hear. But, all right, very good description of Ohtani. He's a pitcher and also a tremendous outfielder. He throws about 100, they say. Now, my thought was, you clarified it and you answered my question. So if the Giants signed them for 1 year at 300, he then couldn't become a free agent after that. Well, you couldn't make a deal that it's 1 year and then you're on your own. In other words, if you signed here, you're in my minor league system until I put you on the 40-man. You're part
right.
of...
It's a minor league contract. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. And okay. So you have control of him.
If he signs with a team, he gets, you know, whatever bonus you can offer him. In the right. Giants' case, $300,000.
Right.
Then, you know, if he's on the major league roster to start next year, which you assume he would be, because he wouldn't sign with somebody to go to the minors, then he'd make, you know, the major league minimum or whatever contract the team sees fit to give him.
Right.
And there's even already been some chatter of, well, there's a lot of ways a team could, you know, circumvent that. They could non-tender him and then re-sign him as a free agent. They could just pay him way over, you know, okay, you've got 1 year of service time. We're going to give you $20 million. Who the heck cares? well, the commissioner's already come out and said, we're not going to let these rules be circumvented. You know, guys should be paid in line with what they're, you know, making. We have a system in place to help govern that. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what is important to this guy and what he picks and market, you know, AL versus NL, you know, the team's fortunes, you know, the doomsday scenario is that he decides that he wants to go to the Dodgers. That obviously would not be good for the Giants or their fans. But, you know, if you just look at what the Giants have going for them, there are other teams that you could think might have more going for them, like maybe the Yankees or the Dodgers, but then you can rattle off a list of teams that you know the Giants are in a better position. I mean, they're in a better position than the Brewers or the Twins or the Texas. White Sox or, you know, there's all kinds of teams that you can kind of cross off. So then when you start shortening that list up, you think, okay, well, maybe the Giants are one of the six or eight teams that really does have a shot at him just because they're a high-profile franchise and, you know, they could offer X, Y, and Z. So it'll be interesting, and they're definitely going to be as involved as they possibly can be and hope that he gives them a rose, so to speak.
Yeah, good analysis, because wherever he goes, he's a minor league guy, wherever he goes. So if you get $300,000 versus $5 million, what's the difference if then – you get on the major league roster, and then they pay him, you know, what he's worth. So it's a question of where you want to go. But everybody's in the same boat with him, and he would just.
And this guy led the league in OPS last year. I mean, it's not like he can hit a little bit. He's not like Madison Bumgarner. I mean, he led the league in OPS, and he led the league in starters ERA, and he strikes out the world, and he's hit 102 miles an hour. So
good, very good.
I mean. Legitimately, this is a guy to get really, really excited about.
All right. Well, great discussion, Andy. Thank you for clarifying all that. One last thing, and I know you've got to get to work. Pablo, and he did hit the home run last night off Kenley Jansen, and you tweeted immediately, well, looks like Pablo has gotten his major league minimum for 2018. Is that the case?
You know, it's going to be real interesting. I'm not sure. I think that basically this is the way I see Pablo. I was thinking about it this morning. I'm probably going to write something today along these lines. You're driving down your street, right? You see an end table on someone's curb, and it's a nice end table. It doesn't have any scratches. It, you know, maybe has a ding here or there, but it looks pretty presentable. And you're thinking, okay, well, I didn't exactly need an end table. I'm not sure what I would do with an end table, but it's pretty small. I'm in my truck. What do? You throw it in your truck. Now, it doesn't mean you put it in your living room. It doesn't mean that you have company over and it's right there. But maybe you stick it in your garage until you know what you're going to do with it. And then maybe, you end up needing that space in the garage for something else and you haven't found a use for the end table, and so it goes back out on the curb. But if you've got the space and it's somebody who, you know, could be a useful major league player and you see that he can turn around a Kenley Jansen cutter and you know, he's hit a right-handed homer, and you know he's going to take some time to get his swing back. As long as he's not a problem in that clubhouse, as long as he's got good work ethic, and by all accounts he has, you know, why not just keep him on the 40-man unless you really need the roster spot? Because, you know, you bring him into spring, maybe he's not an everyday player, maybe they've already figured that out, but he's a guy who could help you, and if he's willing to be a part-time player or something along those lines, then he can be an asset. You know, he's a free player, Marty. I mean, you can say he's going to make the major league minimum, but anybody you'd replace him on the roster would make the same amount. So he's essentially free. So why not keep him around? Why not see what he can do? And if it turns out that you don't think he's better than somebody you could use the 40-man space on otherwise, then you cut him loose. But for now, I think that it's been intriguing enough, and certainly with last night's swing, you know, that intrigue is only going to continue, and I think that you know, he's probably going to stay on the 40-man and be in spring training next year. Right now would be my guess.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought otherwise until about the last 10 days, and he looks different. He has quieted down at the plate. I know we talk about that a lot. He just looks different at the plate. He's making better contact. Even when he was 3 for 50, he wasn't getting killed at the plate. I mean, he was getting the bat on the ball. So I agree with you, and look, there's no guarantee Christian Arroyo is going to walk in. He lost the whole year. They're going to turn that over to him in spring training? Probably not. Ryder Jones? Probably not. So there really isn't anyone, and they need so much help offensively in other places that if you put him at third to start off, it's probably better than not going out and getting another outfielder or two. I think he actually gives you some insurance.
Well, he does, and you know, I think that you still have to think bigger and go out and get somebody. You need more right-handed power in the lineup, Marty. I mean, it's obvious. You know, you're going to get three lefties from the Dodgers in this series. They've started lefties 100 times this year, and you know, we've seen the, you know, what happens when Bellinger can hit a 3-run homer, and the Giants just don't have anybody who can answer. So they need somebody in the lineup, you know, who can provide some right-handed thump, and whether that's at third base or whether it's finding a way to fit Giancarlo Stanton into the in a way that makes sense for everybody or whatever. You know, even if it's something as relatively unimaginative as signing like a Todd Frazier to play third base and maybe Pablo Platoon's with him, they got to find some way to be more right-handed. And I know everyone's saying Mike Moustakas is a great fit, but he's a lefty hitter too. So, you know, I look at more along the lines of what do you need to make this lineup functional? And what do you need to make the outfield defense better? And then you start sort of figuring out, well, what are the pieces and where do they fit? And that's why I don't think you think of Pablo as maybe an everyday player next year, but he could be a useful piece, especially he's played a pretty decent first base too. And that's, you know, that's important.
I agree. Very good. Hey, Andy, thank you so much. How'd Northwestern do today?
Bye week, Marty, but keep a good thought because we've got Wisconsin next week, so it's going to be a tough one.
All right, very good. Hey, thanks for coming on. Enjoy the day today, and we'll talk to you when you get back.
Okay, thanks, Marty.
All right, thanks. That is Andy Bagley at Extra Bags with two G's.